and verse 7. And we're just going to read that one verse there, and I just kind of want to preach to you today out of these verses, or this verse, and I'm going to trust God to help us. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We'll read it again. I know you're familiar with it. I want you to pay attention to all parts of this verse. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why did she have to lay him in a manger? What was the purpose of that? Why was that her option? Because there was no room for them in the inn. And I want to preach, if God will help us today, on a simple thought, no vacancy. Have you ever seen a no vacancy sign before? There's been a few times. I remember one time traveling, and I want to say Chloe was real small. She was a baby, and our plans was to drive, and we'll just get a hotel room somewhere. And I remember traveling and trying to find a place. Everywhere I would pull up in every town, it seemed like it would say no vacancy. And eventually, I remember it got close to 12 o'clock. I said, what is the point of getting a hotel room when you just got to get up? Another time came to mind, me and my wife, it was years ago, before we had children, we were traveling. And we went to Tennessee. I had to go to participate in a wedding in Tennessee. And I remember going, and we said, well, we'll swing over there by Pigeon Forge. And I think it was Labor Day weekend. And man, I couldn't find a room anywhere. And when I finally found a room, it was so expensive, I said, I'd never pay that much for a room. And so we eventually found some little place we stayed at. The place was so unclean. I said, we're not going to stay here again. And so I said, you know what? I said, I've always wanted to go to the Billy Graham Library. So we drove all the way to Charlotte. And we got there, and I pulled up to a hotel, and sure enough, I went up there, and I said, well, it was a La Quinta Inn or something like that. And they told me, that'll be $450 a night. And I said, and I laughed with the guy. I said, you know, I said, that's mighty funny. And he said, no, that's how much it costs. I said, what do you mean it's $450? That's a La Quinta Inn. And he turned the computer around. He said, well, it's the Democratic National Convention. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, man, he said, every hotel in this town is booked. He said, we got an availability, $450 a night. I said, well, I would sleep in my car before I paid $450. So I'm sure maybe you've got a story or two where you found no vacancy, no room. But today I want to talk about this from this perspective, from Christmas and a kind of a topical message and no vacancy. Let's ask God to help us here today. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we appreciate all that you do for us. We ask you to have your way in the service today, Lord Jesus. God, help us to make room in our lives and in our heart. We know that you're able to minister in a mighty way. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness. Help us, God, to have clarity of mind to deliver this word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There are many points of observation to make about this verse, to which we do not have time this morning to go into this verse in full detail. But first thing this morning I would have you to focus on is the simple phrase, they laid him in a manger, and we'd have to ask the question, why? And it tells us because there was no room for them in the inn. The amazing thing about Christmas traditions, we come to a lot of conclusions and come up with a lot of things that we really just do not know if it's true. As a matter of fact, there's been a lot of books written about the innkeeper. There's been poetry written about an innkeeper. But the Bible never even mentions that there was an innkeeper, though we would come to the conclusion most likely there was, because there was no room in the inn. There's even been some Christmas plays that have taken it to the next level. I read about this play. I've never seen it, been put on before, about the innkeeper rejecting Mary and Joseph, and his son would go on to become Barabbas, and later on Jesus would take his place. Now, I would say that's stretching it pretty far, all right? I think that's stretching it pretty far. But we would understand there's been so many thoughts about this. And then my first thing I would have us to look at this morning is simply, let's look at this manger for a moment. A manger, as many of you know, is simply a feeding trough for animals. And I don't want to mess up any Christmas traditions or cards, and because we are allowed to speculate some about these things. We don't even know if Jesus was in a stable. You won't find that in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Christmas tradition traditionally has him in a cave, but even then, They still do not know fully where he was, but we gather those thoughts about a stable simply from that word, a manger, a feeding trough, and we would all understand and agree that's no place for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be placed. But we know that that was not the only reason. I would submit to you this morning that it was the will of God that there was no room in the inn, and that Jesus being placed in a feeding trough in a manger is actually something that was, in my mind, God ordained for several different reasons. Some observations we can make from this. Number one, the manger showed his humiliation. He came, according to prophecy, to be despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows. He had no comeliness about him, a root out of dry ground. And it would not have been fitting for him to have been born in a palace and clothed in purple, but yet it shows forth his humiliation, how far down he came for humanity. He was to be a king of the poor, and what a comforting word it must have been to the lowly shepherds as the angel spoke to him these words that there shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Them lowly, dirty shepherds would have related with that as they have seen their share of mangers and have visited their share of caves and stables. And here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was to such a place that even the lowly shepherds could come to him. Here it also understand the manger gives the invitation to the most humble to come in. We might have trembled, and many of us would tremble maybe, to approach a regis throne somewhere. The shepherds and humanity would not feel worthy to enter into a palace and to go past the guards and the gates and the fine artwork. Here, though, understand there was no rough guards to keep away the petitioners. No way to where they could reject the shepherds in coming. I like what Charles Spurgeon said about the manger as he said this. He said the manger represented the whole life of Jesus Christ. He said throughout his whole life, he said that friends were allowed to come see him. The widows and the men were clamored that they could come to him. The hem of his garment was always trailing to where sick people could reach out and touch it. Himself, his hand always reached out to touch the disease, and his ear was always available to the faintest of cries. That's what the manger represents. He was always available to humanity. It was free to all. Anybody could come. And I would submit to you this morning and say this to you this morning, that if anybody here in this room does not come or does not feel like they are worthy to come, understand he was born so that you could approach him. To all this morning, you are not shut out unless you shut yourself out. If you do not go, it is your own fault. If you do not approach him, it's because you have chosen not to approach him. He has been made available to humanity. But let me submit one last thought to you before we move into what it is to have no room for him. But in a manger, we would all agree here, the amazing thing about a manger is this. A manger was used to feed animals. It was used to feed beasts. It was used to give animals provision, to sustain their life. And it is true also of much of humanity, how in sin we have become so brutal, we have become so beastly in our fallen nature. But once again, we as beasts in humanity and fallen can come to the manger and partake of him and live and not die. I'm glad he was born in a manger. I'm glad he was born in a manger. There was other places that had no room for him. There was no room in the palaces. How could the kings of the earth receive the Lord? He is the King of Kings. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that wants to, he delights when this war ceases, but yet kings delight in war. Jesus does not like pride, but yet kings love pride. He is the one that came in such a humble way. And we also agree here today, even society had no room for him. Please don't be deceived with all the lights and the trees that you see hanging up all over the world right now. There's many people in this world that even though they put up a tree, even though they hang a light, and even though they partake in some of the festivities, many of them have no room in their hearts for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Many of them do not make room for Him. And yet at this time of year, they may like the feeling of the season, and they may like the warmth and the atmosphere of it. But you understand, they have not made room for Christ. Our society is even getting to a place where they are not making room for Christ. More and more as we live, it's more and more that you see people trying to protest against Christmas trees and saying Merry Christmas and all the festivities. That's becoming something in these days where society does not make room for Him. Schools of philosophies, it's amazing, in the universities of our world, they do not make room for Him. Matter of fact, how one writer said, how often learning helps men to raise objections to Christ. Some of them simply go to school to learn how to boycott and object to the things of Christianity. Too often in their learning, they forge arguments against Christ. There's no room for Christ even in the universities in our land. But can I ask you a more important question tonight? Is there room for Jesus in your home? Come on, help me. Answer the question in your heart. Have you made room for Jesus in your home and in your families? The schools and the universities and the palace and society is beyond our control. But surely the home should be a place welcome for Christ. Not only the Christ of our imaginations and the one that pampers to our self-will, but the living Christ. Is He welcome in your home? Many parents are too preoccupied with careers to allow the Savior in. The children are consumed with studies and have no time to study the majesty of the manger. Is there room for Christ in your home? Or are we so busy this time of year? Isn't it sad you can get so busy at Christmas that you don't even let Christ in your home? You know, me and my wife, we have talked over the years, and we're trying to practice this more and more, trying to keep Christmas simple. Because there's been a few times in our early marriage, you know, we got family everywhere. We do strive to still go see family. We're trying to work all that now. When's the right time to go? And you know, you have to drive 4 hours to eat a piece of turkey with family and enjoy the fellowship and exchange gifts and let the kids see the grandparents. And I enjoy all of that. But if you're not careful, you can wear yourself out. Amen. I would even say to you that even when it comes to giving gifts, be careful. We don't need to be so worried and stressed at the Christmas time that there's no room for Christ in our homes and our hearts. But let me speak to you as a church, because in the day that Jesus was born, there was really no room for Jesus in the temple. And that today, even though we don't have a temple, we have a church. Surely there should be room for Him in the temples and the synagogue in His day. But no, that is where He met His most ferocious enemies, was in the temple. Isn't it amazing that you can be in church? And we can have Christmas dinners, and we can preach Christmas messages, and we can sing Christmas songs, and we can decorate the sanctuary. And I think everybody did a wonderful job that worked on this. And I love Christmas times, but you still can miss the majesty of the manger. You still can be so busy. But let me make this even more personal. We talk about the home. We talk about the church. And we talk about, in my mind, when I speak of the church having no room for Christ, the self-righteous have no need for a babe in a manger. The church and denominations hold too fast to their traditions to accept a babe in a manger. That's why they miss Jesus in His day. There's some churches today, I wonder if pregnant Mary and Joseph did show up, if they would let them in. Or they would try to launch an investigation of why she was pregnant and what happened. Will we let the Mary in? Will we be a church that lets Christ in? Let's be a church that lets Christ in. Let's be a church that accepts what He's wanting to do. Maybe God wants to come in here this morning and touch our hearts and awaken it to the needs of the world and the suffering of humanity. Because when Christ comes in, there's going to be a change. We need to let Him in. We talk about homes. We talk about the church. But let me ask you about your personal heart. Many of the things listed above that I've already mentioned to you, we have little say-so in. But you have something to say about your personal heart. Have you made room for Christ? Maybe you did it one time. Now you reject Him. Maybe you have grown cold in your relationship with Christ to where Christmas is more about the festivities and the dinners, and you do not enjoy the warmth of the reflection of the coming of Christ. Have you room in your heart? Are you preoccupied with your love of other things that you do not allow the Christ and His love to come into your heart? Let Him in this morning if you have not already done so. We need to let Him in. We know personally when Jesus came, there was no room for Him in the inn. Now, I guess we all fall prey to this at times, and until you really study the culture of the Bible and study what the setting would have been like, we almost imagine Mary and Joseph walking up to the Hampton Inn and saying, "Well, there's no vacancy here. Let me try another hotel." That's not how it happened. Their inns and what they would consider an inn back in those days, just about all of us in this room probably would turn our nose up to today. It was not an immaculate place. It was not even, from what I read about the inns of the day, and if it was within tradition of the culture from what I read about, it was not even like everybody had their own room. Didn't have your own sink, didn't have your own toilet. You didn't have none of those things. A inn was actually something to where the people would come, the pilgrims would come, and especially during the census, even the officials would have the better settings in an inn. But here what it was, everybody would share a massive room at times on the second floor, and all the animals at times would be put down in a lower level or maybe out in a barn somewhere. And so here it is. This is what an inn would be like. The inn in Bethlehem was not like hotels today. It was not a multi-level structure with an access key. That's not what it was. Here the inn was full of visitors, officials, potentially some Roman guards. But notice this, I like what John Phillips said about this. He said there may not have been any room in the inn. But John Phillips said, what about the innkeeper's room? If he had any empathy, would he not open up his heart to a mother that is pregnant, potentially about to have a child? Is there not any empathy there? Let me ask you today, do you have room in your heart and life to help the needy? Is there room today for Christ? Is there room in the inn? This left Joseph and Mary to stay elsewhere, as we've already mentioned. But notice this. I want you to notice what the Bible also says. There was no room for them. Amen. We oftentimes have made this innkeeper to be a pretty bad guy. I don't want Jesus in here. He didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus had yet to be born. There was no room for them. And let me precaution you today, because we, at times, if we're not careful in these last days, in this fallen world, we get frustrated when the world rejects us. They're going to continue to reject us and not have room for us. There was no room in the world for them. There was no room in the inn for them. If you expect everybody will praise you and that your good actions will be applauded, you will be mistaken. The world has no room for a man or a woman who has room for Christ. If you've made room for Jesus, don't be upset when the world don't make room for you. Amen. Because it says there was no room for them. Hear me today, brothers and sisters. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Let me ask you today, are you looking to be the popular person in this world? Are you looking to escape all persecution? If you're living this like you should, there's not going to be any room for you in this world. I often have counseled young men and young ladies, especially young teenagers. When they get saved, I said, look, if you really got born again, don't be surprised if you don't fit in. Matter of fact, I expect you probably not to fit in. When I got saved and truly born again, and I began to go around the old friends, and I began to see them on the job and begin to see them out in public, it wasn't but maybe two or three times, and I didn't hear from them anymore. And at first, I'm like, man, what in the world? I'm trying to serve the Lord, trying to do what's right. But don't be surprised when they don't make room for you. Don't be surprised when they don't include you in whatever it is, the festivities and all these things. Why? Because there was no room for Jesus. And when you accept Jesus, there's going to be no room for you. But let me come to some of my closing thoughts here in a few moments. But
Let me ask you the final question, and I want to spend a little time here. Do you have room for him? Many times we can look at the innkeeper, and as we look at the innkeeper, we think to myself, I can't, you know, why did he reject them and why did he do this? But let me ask you a question. Are you rejecting him? Is your heart open to the Savior? You are the innkeeper of your heart. You are the one that allows certain things in and certain things out. Does your heart say no vacancy over your heart here this morning? Have you made room for him? If Jesus does not have access into your heart, he will not come in intruding. He will not kick the door down. But if your heart says no vacancy, that's exactly the message he will read. No vacancy. Do you have room from him here today? And once again, I feel bad that we have to continue to go over this in the church world today. But just because you come to church and just because you participate in some level, still you can be rejecting the will of God in your life and not receiving Christ. Are you doing the will of God today? Have you made room for Jesus? Well, somebody say, well, maybe Brother Derek, I have room for him, but I'm not worthy. And I would say to you today, I did not ask about your worthiness. I simply asked if you had room. What should we preach to a world? That they need to be worthy before they get Jesus? That they need to be worthy before they find forgiveness? I'm glad to know he died for me. And he loved me, and he convicted me and dealt with me even in my unworthiness. If you feel unworthy here today, hear me once again. Guess what? I didn't ask you if you were worthy. I simply asked if you had room today. Somebody else may say, Brother Derek, I'm so empty. I'm so void. I feel like nobody can feel this. Let me go ahead and tell you, if you make room for him, he'll meet every need. If you open up the door, the biggest void in your life, that emptiness, when you let Jesus in, I'm telling you, he fills up the whole room. He takes over. He touches every area of your life. You say, I need peace. Simply make room for him. You say, I need joy. Simply make room for him. I need forgiveness. Make room for him. I need grace. Simply make room for him. And he will come in. Maybe a hard sinner would say, oh, but the room I have is so base, it's so despicable. I would say to you, so was the manger. But he still went because there was room. Somebody would say, well, you don't understand, my heart is so foul that perhaps Christ would not come in. Oh, but I feel that it is my place to let you know that the manger was a place, it was not fit for him, but yet he was laid there anyhow. Just make room for him is all you've got to do. Just make room for him. Today is that day that you should make room. You don't need to wait. You don't need to wait till another song is sang. You don't need to wait for another message to be preached. You don't need to wait for all this to happen. Simply as I'm preaching, as I am speaking to you, as I am entreating you, before we even get to the end of the sermon, all you simply got to do is say, Jesus, I want to make room for you. I want to make room for you. That's all you've got to do. Make room for him this morning. I would ask again, are there any hearts there here this morning that would take him in? Will you take Christ in? Spurgeon said, as I was reading some thoughts he had about these verses, this is what he said, my master wants room. Room for him. Room for him. He said, I, his herald, cry aloud, room for the Savior, room. He is a royal master. Do you have room for him? The Son of God made flesh. Have you room for him? Here is he who will forgive all sin. Do you have room for him? He needs a place. He wants to come in your emptiness, your nothingness. You're wanting a feeling. You're wanting of goodness and grace. Just simply make room. Room for him. But many do not make room. And Christmas season will pass, and it's just another Christmas. As of right now, as far as to my knowledge, I've been a part of 31 Christmases. And I don't remember all those. I remember most of them. But I remember the anticipation of a child as a child. And one of the beauties, I guess, of being a parent, you get to see that same anticipation in the eyes of your children. And man, it's exciting. It's a good time as you begin to reflect and talk to them. And Sister Juanita gives us a little Advent calendar for the kids. We give them a piece of chocolate, and you read them a Bible verse. And every night, they go, "I want the chocolate," and you read the verse. I love this time of year. What am I trying to train my children to make room for Him even in a busy season? Make room for Him. Stand to your feet, if you would, as my wife goes to the piano. I've not preached long on purpose because I have a point in this altar call I'd like to get to. I want to make a little time to reflect. It's only 11:45. It's plenty early. And I know that good smelling food's about to come. We'll start smelling it. Them doors keep opening up and it'll work its way in here. We'll get our mind. I understand that. But the holiday season, it's not just about making room on your schedule for the next dinner. Not about making room in your stomach for the next dessert. It's not about trying to join here, go here, and my family have plans to go see some Christmas lights, to do this. I love it all. But if we don't make time for Christ in this time of the year and reflect that He came down in a manger, that we could simply make room for Him in our lives and hearts. I would say that it's better not to hang up a Christmas light if we miss that point. Take down all the decorations. Stop all the festivities. Let the music cease. If we do not make room for Christ, Christmas has been in vain. Christmas has been in vain. The money that'll be spent, the gifts that'll be given, all the festivities. Let me ask you, have you made room for Him? Have you even paused to stop and thank God that He came down in a manger? As Brother Shane preached a few years ago, I believe it was, about the majesty of the manger. Have we missed the majesty of this season? Have we missed the majesty of this season? Are we so accommodated to Christmas and the season that we forget exactly what He's done for us? God becomes a baby. Deity in diapers. How overwhelming is that? But Jesus finally found a place. Rejected by humanity, His whole ministry, living in obscurity, He found a place. He found room on a cross. And He found room on that cross. He died so He could make room for you. And as the book of Revelation chapter 3 to the church of Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Why? Because there's some people in some churches that still don't have room for Him. I had this thought in prayer. I'm going to share it and we're going to pray. My heart says no vacancy this morning. But it's not to Jesus, it's to the devil. My heart says no vacancy this morning. But who's it to? It's no vacancy to the world. It's no vacancy to the devil. It's no vacancy to my will. But don't let it say no vacancy to Jesus Christ. If anything, we ought to beckon, pray, cry. God, I'm making room for You this Christmas. Some of you might not have made room in 5 years. Not even saying you're not saved, but you hadn't enjoyed it like you should. Make room for the joy and the splendor. Find you a place to pray this morning. Find you a place to pray before we go.